I would invite you and encourage you to turn in your Bible this morning to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel chapter 1, and let's read together one verse, John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, behold, the sacrifice of God, this sacrifice of God which taketh or beareth away the sin of the world. I want to bring you a message this morning about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, identified here by God's prophet as the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, one business of which he was totally consumed with was to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He said on several occasions that he came to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He said again, John did, of himself, that he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. He said on another occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ must increase, I must decrease. The only reason for the coming of John and the only purpose that John was sent for was to identify and glorify and point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only sacrifice for sin. John does not ask us to behold a great teacher, although the Lord Jesus Christ certainly is a teacher, nor does John tell us to behold a great moral leader, though certainly that could be said of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, the prophet of God, declares and identifies the Lord Jesus Christ as a designated sacrifice for God. This is God's atonement for the sin of his church, for the sin of his elect. We read in 1 John 4, verse 10, Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice for sin, the propitiation, the atonement for sin. John the prophet knew no other atonement but substitution, and no substitute but the Lord Jesus Christ, this Lamb of God. Now we know from reading the scriptures that John sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ as the only sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God. All through Scripture, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. All through the Old Testament, we see lamb after lamb after lamb. The morning sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, the Passover feast, and on the Day of Atonement. All through the Old Testament, we see lamb after lamb after lamb, sacrificial lamb, Abel's lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of all those lambs that were typical. They all typified the Lord Jesus Christ. Who else could have provided such a sacrifice to fulfill all Scripture but God himself? We read in Genesis 22 when Isaac asked Abraham, My father, where is the lamb? You remember the answer that Abraham gave back? My son, God, will provide himself a lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of that scripture. He is the Lamb of God. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Who else could have honored God's law and his justice and precept and penalty but the Lamb of God, that God himself had provided? We read in Galatians 3 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Who else could have established a righteousness whereby we can be justified before God? Who else could have put away sin except the Lord Jesus Christ by the sacrifice of himself? The point I'm trying to make here is the scripture declares that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that's provided by God. Now, who was it that sacrificed this Lamb of God? Oftentimes, this religious world focuses in on the instruments, but we need to look beyond the instruments to the author of the cross, he being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was the sacrifice of God at Calvary. Yes, men nailed him to the cross and they did what they wanted to do, but God is the author of the cross. They did what God determined from all eternity. This is God's sacrificial lamb. Calvary was not an accident. God planned the cross. God presided over the cross. Our Lord said, "No man takes my life from me, I lay it down." And God participated. It wasn't the work that men did at Calvary that day that's our hope. It's what God was doing. You see, this is God's sacrificial lamb. It was God who bruised him when the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us by imputation. We know that the Lord Jesus, as the God-man mediator, as God's Lamb, is spotless and without blemish. He personally committed no sin, but yet we see the wrath of God falling upon him because he is indeed guilty of sin by imputation. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Christ. Through Christ establishing a righteousness by his obedience and by his death, by his redeeming blood, having put away our sin. Jesus Christ is not only the Lamb provided by God, but also the Lamb that is accepted of God. That is his sacrifice, his person and his work, his priestly atonement as the representative man, as a representative person, as a mediator of his covenant people. He is the Lamb of God that God must accept, glories to accept, and always accepts. This is our only hope, that a guilty sinner might have before a holy God, is to be accepted in the Beloved through this Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, do not try to approach God who is holy apart from this sacrifice for sin. This is the only way we can approach God, is through a suitable mediator who is our high priest with a suitable sacrifice that satisfies God. And all this we have in our God-man mediator who is our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John sets forth the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. We are to behold this Lamb of God, this sacrifice of God, and this sacrifice of God is effectual. John declares, "This Lamb of God taketh away," or "beareth away," our sin. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ, as this designated sacrifice, appointed of God, blessed of God, sent of God, was sent to take away sin. Our Lord not only took our sin, but took it to himself. Peter said he bare our sin in his own body upon the tree. He took our sin, original and actual, all sin, all the sin of God's people was imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the great beauty and strength, and the center of the gospel is substitution, imputation. Christ, as this Lamb of God, the just one, he suffered for the unjust by imputation, by substitution. All of the sin of God's elect was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you consider the weight of all the sin of all God's elect laid upon Christ. No angel could bear that load. No man could handle that burden of sin. But when it was imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ by God's decree, he bare our sin in his own body. Not only did he take our sin, but in taking our sin, he took it away. He taketh away our sin. He took it voluntarily out of love, being the willing servant of God. He became responsible to divine justice to answer for our sin. He carried it away as the scapegoat of old did under the law. John said in 1 John 3:5 that the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested to take away our sin. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't attempt to take away sin. He made a complete atonement for sin. And I mean by that, his atonement was effectual. All for whom he stood as surety, mediator, and advocate, those for whom he died, certainly their sin is put away. For we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, that he appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We read in Psalm 103, talking about the effect of Christ's atonement. Christ has removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. In Isaiah 38:17, the prophet declares that all our sin is put behind the back of God, that it is out of sight. God said in that covenant of grace, their sin and their iniquity I'll remember no more. In Micah 7:19, our sin is described as cast into the depths of the sea. He put away sin, my friend, by taking our sin to himself, satisfying God's law and justice for us. He taketh away. This is a permanent, eternal sacrifice for sin. There is a continual effect. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It wasn't a temporary atonement. He obtained for his elect eternal redemption. He saves us with a everlasting salvation. Now, my friend, those for whom he stood as surety, mediator, and as the representative man, their salvation was accomplished at Calvary when he put away their sin. Now, John says in the text here that this Lamb taketh away the sin of the world. Now, most people look at this and think, well, Christ made atonement for all of the sin of all men. My friend, that is not according to the Scripture. This word world here is in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ dying for his elect, his church. We read in Acts chapter 20 that he purchased the church with his own blood. We read in John 10 verse 15 that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep. The sheep were in this world, lost sheep. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 that the Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. That's this world that is described here. It doesn't mean all of the sin of all men, nor some of the sin of all men, but all of the sin. The Lord Jesus Christ made sufficient atonement for all of the sin of some men, his elect, his church. We read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that we are to call his name Jesus, identifying his office as Savior. He shall save his people from their sin. Now, my friend, I would ask you, according to the Word of God, as John says here, behold this Lamb of God. He is the only sacrificed sin of God to put away the sin of God's people. And my prayer for us today is that God would give us grace to look to this Lamb of God, salvation in no other. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, by this righteousness established, by this sacrifice that is given.